Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We finalized our last week of training camp with a series of podcasts on preparation for week one. And we're going to focus on everything here, things you want to think about both on the field and off the field. And today, we're going to think about the off-field logistics or operations, as many teams do call this in the NFL and in college football. And typically, they have a director of operations who's responsible for a lot of these things. But ultimately, at the high school level, even the small college level, this is going to fall on the head football coach. So we're going to take you through a series of things to think about, checklists to put together. We'll always have these resources available in our show notes at blogs.usafootball.com. And as we transition then into our in-season, we'll have some previews this week of our in-season podcast, and we're excited about our guest hosts who are going to join us each week through the season. So as we focus on the logistics of week one and game day, we wish it was as simple as we get the guys on the bus, we show up somewhere and play football, or we walk out our locker room and tee it up and go. But there's a lot of things that go into the operations of game day. And if you're not paying attention to those, there's some things that can slip through the cracks and ultimately hurt the team. I can think of a particular one. When I played high school football, we were playing on a rainy day. It was all grass back then. We didn't play on any turf fields, so it was going to be muddy, and we forgot the towels. Nobody put the towels on the bus. That was obviously on the coaching staff, but the other team is able to handle the ball, throw the ball, do all the things they want to. They have towels out on the field. We don't have anything, and we suffered that day because we had a really good quarterback who could not throw the football because he didn't have anything to wipe the mud off his hands. So thinking of all the details of game day, let's start with some of the logistics that you want to think about early in the week heading into game week. So number one, do you have a team meal? And have you discussed those things with your boosters? Do they know where to set up? Do they know what time the team is going to show up? Do they know exactly what you want the team to be fed or hydrated with? I think those are important things. I could think of a time where we had a parent make a meal, and I want to say it was something really heavy and greasy, like Sloppy Joe's, and they had let it sit all day, and a lot of the players had to be running to the bathroom really quick. So you just want to avoid all those situations. Be very clear with your boosters. They are certainly there to support you that this is what we need to see for the game day meal. So if you haven't covered that already, that's something you're going to want to do. Again, what are they serving you? Where do they show up to set up, and what time will the team be there? And try to stick with schedules. You don't want them sitting around waiting for you as you're out on the field running one more play. Early in the week, you're going to want to talk to your athletic director and see what media is going to be covering the game. I think it's important to be able to have a good relationship with the media. They're there to really support high school football in general. And the more information you could give them, the easier you can make their job, the better. We always like to put together a preseason media guide that was very much like what the colleges would do, with different sections, bios on each player, with a few things that, you know, if you're on the radio and you got somebody doing color commentary, that he can mention that, you know, a kid plays another sport or is involved in his community or whatever it might be. I think those are things that they can get from your media guide. So we always had those available in our press box at home games, and we would always be sure to try to send those off digitally to the media before the season. But that's an opportunity where if you know somebody who normally doesn't cover you is going to be there, that you touch base with them, or your AD touches base with them and gets them some information on your team, current statistics as the season goes on, your updated roster, and any kind of ideas or points from you as the coach that you may want to highlight. You don't have those media days. You don't have an interview or a pregame interview where they can know some of those things. So sometimes just including a few bullets on your thoughts on that particular game, not necessarily anything that's going to give away what you guys are going to try to do, but just thoughts going into the game. And a lot of times they'll touch base with you before, and that also helps you to know that, you know, somebody might be contacting you before the game while your team is warming up, et cetera, and you can account for any kind of your responsibilities being delegated if need be. Something I'd like to do prior to the week one game is a couple things with player equipment and making sure that our players weren't going to be off the field because they had a broken helmet, or maybe they lost their mouth guard on the field, whatever it might be. So there are a couple things we did early on to be sure that our players would stay on the field if we wanted them out there. And the first was to find a helmet buddy. So our varsity guys would basically find somebody on the JV team, someone who's going to be there on the sideline, and somebody with the exact size helmet that they needed. It would have to be a one-to-one. We put that chart together very simply, and we would know that if this player's helmet broke, he lost a chin strap button or whatever it might be, that he could grab this other player's helmet and be right back there in the game. So definitely was not with any varsity guys we're going to see the field. This was always with the JVs who might not or would not see the field that day, and we would have helmet buddies. The other thing we do, and I know a lot of this has changed really, the helmets have become a lot better and I don't see them breaking as much, but I think you always want to account for that contingency. Also, the idea that, you know, your player, especially at a away game, maybe drops his mouth guard getting off the bus, leaves it in the locker room, whatever it might be. Again, one of those opportunities that can keep a player off the field. We wanted to have that accounted for as well. I know at the college level, we just had a sideline hot pot where they could boil water very quickly and put a new one in. But at the high school level, we always had an extra mouth guard. So when we would give our players mouth guards at the beginning of the year, and I know these guys go to Dick's Sporting Goods and buy all the cool looking ones, but I think even if you have a basic one available for them, it was good. So what we would do is have them mold that extra one. We'd tell them to, you know, sit it out, let it dry out, and then put it in a plastic Ziploc bag. Use a Sharpie to write their name on it on the bag, and then we would just put those in the equipment box, and everybody had that extra one ready to go if need be. Really, how this came about is we were running our kicking scrimmage the one year, and one of our quarterbacks walking back from our practice field lost his mouth guard. And instead of getting one and molding it before he got out on the field, he just grabbed one that was not molded. And he ended up with a pretty bad concussion that day because he did not have the appropriate mouth guard. And when we watched the film, it definitely had something to do with him not having a fitted mouth guard. So again, you want to avoid those situations that might take the player off the field, but also something that keeps them safe if they were to think that they're just going to play without one and not let you know. So have that available for your players as well. As we head towards the middle of the week, this could really happen on a Wednesday. Certainly you have a little bit more time usually on Thursdays after a walkthrough. But Wednesday would be the day maybe to start looking at some of this stuff that you want to have everything charged and ready to go. The game has now become a little bit technology driven. Certainly we're going to have our wireless headsets. We want to make sure those are charged and ready to go, that they're working. We would always test those out every week, charge them up, and have those ready to go. So you're going to want to make sure you have those things fully charged for game day. Think about any other sideline equipment that might require a charge or a backup battery. Get those things organized and ready to go. Certainly, you should have a technology checklist and put somebody in charge of that. So on that checklist could be the headphones, any kind of iPads you use on the sideline. Some teams are using a flat screen TV. Do you have everything you need, especially when you go on the road, for that to operate correctly? Any kind of adapters that need to go in, cords, etc. Think about how you protect that on days that are rainy, right? Do you have a case that makes that still usable on game day? You're going to want to make sure you have those things ready to go as well. There's a lot of things we can do with technology. I still think there's some things you need to make sure you have in the form of paper. So at the beginning of the year, your emergency medical forms, any kind of health forms that you have, any kind of emergency contacts that you have, you got to make sure you have those are ready to go. And again, I think in the world of technology, certainly we can put those on a Google Drive or a Google Doc and have that available. But I would recommend getting all those copies, putting them in a folder, and putting them in a box that goes with you on game day. Again, just so you have that, if need be, you could pull it out and very quickly react to whatever situation might call for those things. As we're going through all these things, you might want to think about delegating each of these and dividing it up into smaller sets of things. So maybe it's player equipment, maybe it's training and medical forms, on-field equipment, and your technology, and putting somebody in charge of those so that their list is not too big and things don't slip through the cracks. And also, you know exactly who to ask if you're looking for something. Rather than having everything fall on one guy, you might want to divide this up maybe amongst your JV staff, or if you have freshman staff that comes along. I'd always have somebody responsible for everything that is on this list outside of the head coach. I don't think all of this should fall on the head coach. So think about how you delegate this as well. I'd say about Wednesday is also the time to get out the new game balls. There's a couple things you can do to make sure they're not slick. I always liked to give them to the kickers for a little bit and let them kick them. But before that, before we went on the field, there's a couple things we would do. We would always have a brush for that and rough those up. So not necessarily a very stiff scrub brush, but something kind of in that medium range. We would take a warm cloth to it to get some of that wax that's usually on it or whatever that substance is they put on the football, and we would rough them up a little bit, give them the kickers to get them more into game shape, and bring those out a little bit on a Wednesday, especially on a Thursday. Let the players use those as long as the weather is good. You don't want to ruin your game balls before, but you do want those broken in a little bit for game day. And always have your quarterback pick those out. What ball does he want to use? If they are not to the condition he wants, I would suggest replacing it or working it in a little bit more to get it exactly how he wants. You want that guy feeling comfortable with what he has to work with on Friday night. All the other equipment really becomes checklist items. So thinking about things, number one, with that player equipment. So do you have, for example, your kicking net? Is that ready to go? Your tees that you might use, having a backup tee as well. Thinking about, you know, the water bottles and hydration. How many are you bringing to game day? How many coolers? A lot of time you're able to rely on your training staff to get those things together. Just make sure you provide them the support and that they're staying on top of everything too. You may want to include them in an operations meeting at the end of the week to make sure they have everything ready to go and that nothing is falling through the cracks. We'll talk about that game day operations meeting and what that should look like towards the end of the podcast here. If you're at your home stadium, the next consideration would be, are you going to have music playing during pregame? And I always like to have control of that. I always liked to be able to consult with our players and hear what kind of music they wanted to play. And then we would put together a playlist really that was timed up with exactly how our pregame was going to work. And, you know, we would think about those really driving kind of the timing of our pregame. We certainly would be able to look at the game clock and understand how much time we had left. But a lot of times at home, you know, when we were going to walk out that door and the first people out were going to be our quarterbacks and centers getting some snaps, it would be followed by the specialists and so on and so forth. As we went through every single one of those periods, it was kind of timed up to the music. The important thing is that we had somebody upstairs ready to turn that on. So who is that going to be? You know, thinking about as you get into the stadium, there's a lot of those things, whether it's home or away. So first is setting up the press box. Who's responsible for that? Who's in charge of making sure that the phones are ready to go? It's not something that you want traded off every single week. You want guys who are definitely responsible, and you understand that they're going to do that responsibility every single week. As you get into the stadium, really every single coach should have some kind of responsibility. You're going to have those guys who maybe go to the locker room and are available there for any of the player needs. You're going to have the guys who are out on the field working things. I mean, the last thing you want to see is a bunch of coaches out on the field throwing the footballs around as things aren't ready to go. So there's a lot of things that have to be done whether you're at home or arriving at the opponent's stadium. There's always less time to do it when you arrive at the stadium. I would say that because there is that security blanket of being at home, you might want to designate some times just so that you're not scrambling or somebody doesn't miss that responsibility just because you're at home. In terms of the press box, going to want to make sure that your coordinators have all that they need. That might be the clipboards or highlighters or pens that are going to go up to the press box, going to chart their different things that they like charted, and you're going to get all that stuff together and make sure that either that coach has it or it's on the bus and packed and ready to go. Ideally, you make your coordinator responsible for those things, but again, I think it's always good to have a backup plan. Setting a full set of those charts, offense, defense, special teams, whatever you might use, putting those into a designated place. Maybe there's a box that you bring along that you could always fall back on. We have an extra set. I think it's always good to plan for those things and have a contingency plan. Another thing you want to be sure comes with you is a whiteboard. That's a whiteboard for the sideline as well as for the locker room, maybe at halftime. Again, you don't always know what you're going to have on the road. You might not have those things available. So think about what you need ahead of time, what you need to travel with you, making sure that you have the whiteboard and markers. Maybe you need one for your offense and one for your defense. Again, think about how your team is set up. Are you a two-platoon team? You're definitely going to want to do that. and designate those types of things. There's a couple important documents I think you need to have posted in the press box as well as available on the sideline. I always put one of these on our call sheet as well. What you do with the time, how many timeouts are left, and how much time can you burn? I think that's so important as you get towards the end of the game and managing the clock, that you understand what's going to stop the clock, how many timeouts that you have, and how much time you're going to be able to burn. Or on the opposing side, you might need to know that you might be down, you might need the ball back. That chart works that way as well. And then the two-point chart. I always made somebody else responsible for those things. It's hard to be a play caller and be looking at that chart, both for the two-point and the time management, and be able to do what you need to do from thinking about what plays you want called. I would put somebody on each of those things. Make somebody your clock management specialist, that guy who can understand how much time you have left, what you need to do. And that guy should be making those recommendations 100%. You have to rely on him. He has to understand exactly how that chart works. Same with the two-point. For us, it was always anytime there was a score, we would know going into that next drive what we needed to do if we scored. So I would have that coach tell us, he would go through, do the calculation, say, this next time when we score, you're going for one. This next time you're going for two. And that would help you as a play caller too, thinking about, okay, I'm going to have a two-point play ready for when we score. I'm going to get that on the field. And if you can relay those things, especially to your head coach and your sideline personnel, it's important. Those people need to know so that they're not running the extra point team out on the field when you need to go to two. The other one I'd like to have is a coin toss chart. Usually, sometime on a Thursday, maybe it was a Friday with the coaches, we'd always talk about what we wanted to do with that coin toss. Did we want to take the ball? Did we want to defer? As we would get to the field, we might adjust those things because we would look at game conditions. We'd look at wind and all those kinds of things. So there is a chart available, and we'll put that in our show notes as well, that can give you those types of things as far as the result of what happens with that. So, for example, if you defer and they choose the ball, then you get the first half wind behind your back or in your face, whatever you might choose there. That doesn't always matter. There's a lot of games where it doesn't, but there's some games you certainly, as you get late into the year and the weather starts to get a little bit tougher, you're going to want to understand those things. So I think it's good to get it in your thought process early. Think about those things as you get to a stadium, as you get out onto the field, even if it's your own place, and understand what you want to do with that coin flip. In regards to the captains and the officials at the beginning of the game, number one, always make sure that you have the opportunity when you greet them to give your name, get their name. If they don't give you a card, usually they do, write it down. I would always highlight the guy who's going to be on our sideline. I especially want to spend some time with him. I always let him know that, hey, I'm going to be the only guy talking to you on the sideline. I will not have any of our coaches chirping at you. If you hear anything coming from our sideline that you don't like, please let me know and I'll take care of it. I think it's very good to have that guy in your corner, at least know that you have his back and it's not going to be difficult for him on your sideline. The other thing I'd like to do was to have a card for the officials, and that card would have my captain's numbers. I would designate a speaking captain for each side of the ball. There are those situations, maybe your captains are not on the offensive side, so do you need to designate your quarterback as the speaking captain there? And that's always what I would note on there. Who are going to be the guys who would speak? Who could they go to if there was a penalty and they needed to communicate? I also put on there the hand of our quarterback and whether our kicker and punter were right-footed or left-footed as well. I would put my name, our AD's name, and our contact information so that if they need anything post-game, they could get directly to us. The whole idea is I wanted to communicate that we're working with you. This isn't going to be an adversarial relationship, that we want this game to flow efficiently from both sides and that the communications should be clear and concise both from us and from them. I'd always ask the white hat as well is, you know, what do you want me to do if I need to confer with somebody? We'll go over and get that guy for you and let you talk to him. Others really aren't as good as the communication. So I think at least understanding up front what they're going to be like when you need to communicate is going to make things a little bit easier. Now that kind of takes us into the game. And I think it's very important that your coordinators go over the protocols they need for communication, what they're looking for in between drives, during drives, etc. they need to be the guys who are most comfortable with the communications and understand how they want it to work. So make sure they communicate that with the staff and even practice those kinds of things. Get on the headphones on a Thursday, take them out there and talk through those things and how it's going to work. Your players need to understand things like, where do they go when they get to off the field and onto the sideline between series? Do you have a designated meeting spot for your offense, for your defense, for your special teams? Typically, when we were home, we'd have two benches. One was dedicated towards the offensive guys. One was dedicated towards the defensive guys. And they would report to that spot immediately after they got off the field. We would always make sure that the water would get over to them, that they weren't walking around looking for water. So they would sit down, we'd take care of them and communicate anything we needed before they were allowed to get back up and go over to the sideline and get ready for the next series. So designate those things. I would practice that in your first walkthrough and make sure that they understand exactly how those game day operations work. Again, don't take that for granted. I know some of your guys probably know, but you're always going to have those new guys who haven't done it before. Make sure they understand exactly what's expected when they come to the sideline. Halftime's another area you kind of want to script. It's easy at home. You can designate in the locker room exactly where different positions meet. Are you going to meet as a team first? Is it going to be go to your unit, your offense, or your defense? Is it going to go to your position group? Consider those things and set those up. We had timed for us exactly what we would do. So we would come in, there was 2 minutes as a team. We would sit down, head coach would address, kind of set the tone for that. From there, they would break up into their units, offense and defense. If we were two platoon, that was easy. If not, we would designate 2 minutes for the offense, 2 minutes for the defense. After that time, we would then go to position group for 1 minute, just to get anything from those coaches, and then we'd leave the players alone. So we had a really quick, basically 5 to 7 minutes there that we're going to meet with those guys initially. That gives the coaches a little bit of time to plan. We go back, and then we would come back, and there would be, again, very limited time. So 3 minutes to 4 minutes for each offense and defense, and just a minute at the end for the head coach to address anything he might need. Think about those things, and I would suggest you rehearse it. Let your players know what that's going to be like. When you're away and you're in a visiting locker room, you have to consider those things as well. How are you going to meet? Where are you going to meet? Is there enough room? Where are you setting up your whiteboard or having that available for your coaches? Where can the coaches meet away from the players to discuss some things? That is something you need to look at right away. Again, I would have somebody designate those things for you. Go in, scope it out, say, okay, here's how it's going to work, and set those things up. You have to share that with your players before they get rolling. And that was always kind of one of our meetings as we got in, you know, whatever that might be, off the bus into the locker room, is understand here's the setup of this locker room. Here's how our procedures are going to work. Having somebody, especially away, and if there's a walk to the field, understanding how much time does it take to get to the field. So as you start rolling your pregame routine, you're on track, you don't get behind there. Same thing as being able to get off the field and back to the locker room, as well as back out to the field at halftime. What's the walk? What does that take there? I know there's a lot of things to think about, but you don't want to have a situation where you didn't allow for enough time and you get a flag because you're not out on the field. The other thing to think about is how much time do you need, right? Work that into the travel. Understand how long it's going to take to get to that stadium. When do you want to arrive? I think there's kind of a sweet spot for that. You don't want to arrive too early and have players sitting around and idle, but you also don't want them rushed. So you have to figure that out. Again, it really relies on what do you need for your pregame routine and making sure that there's just not too much downtime, as well as making sure that they're not very rushed and you're causing some anxiety because they're panicked about getting ready. When you travel, I think a good thing to consider, especially beginning of the year, is what's the dress getting onto the bus? I know a lot of teams like to put the lowers on and get on the bus, but you know, if it's an 85 or 90 degree day with a lot of humidity and you're on a non-air conditioned bus, do you want those guys sweating and losing some water at that time? So you may want to go in shorts and a t-shirt and make them a little bit more comfortable. Now, anytime you travel, hopefully you have some travel bags or they have their own bags. I always had a bag check meeting for a player. So they'd get together with their position coach. They would have their bag there after they packed it. And typically this would be a Thursday night. They're going to have, you know, their jerseys, their pants, et cetera, handed out to them by that time. And we'd go through item by item. They'd look, everybody look at their bag. If they once they had it, they'd give a thumbs up. Coach sees everybody with a thumbs up. He moves on to the next item. So just making sure that they have everything that they need before they get onto the bus for an away game. So we talked about the pregame a little bit. We talked about adjustments. We talked about halftime. Then the next thing to consider is the postgame. So what's the routine, both home and away? Do you go over to your band and sing the fight song or the alma mater? Does that happen only when you win or you lose? Have you practiced that with your band? Do they understand that that's part of their routine for game day too? We always would bring the band out. We would have, you know, whatever would work for them. You know, we'd meet at the game field and they would go through exactly what they were going to do. Some of it for pregame when they're forming a tunnel, so we know exactly what that's going to look like, as well as at the end of the game, going over and celebrating with them by singing the fight song. So is that part of your routine? Have you practiced it? When does that happen? You know, a lot of times you don't want the band waiting around for you because you're talking or your players caught up with the media. So we would send them over there immediately after they shook hands. So again, those things really come into consideration because they are part of your game day operations. And then finally, addressing the team after the game. What are the expectations there? Do you let your assistant coaches talk? Is it just the coordinators? Do you talk to them as a group and then break them up between offense, defense, or to their units? Think about how you want to work that and control that message, because I think that's important after the games. There's a lot of emotions, win or lose, and you want to manage those things as well and understand what needs to happen there. Handling the media. Always be sure you've schooled your players up on exactly what kinds of messages you want to talk about. Being positive, talking about their teammates, giving credit to their teammates, never taking away from the opponent or really even mentioning them, unless you're mentioning them in a positive way. I think those are all good things that you cover with your players and set some expectations for media. The other thing I would do is designate a couple coaches. If it can't be you, if you're being interviewed, is to always have a coach escort that player over to the media so that they know what's being said. And if need be, they can help out or intervene to avoid any kind of traps there that they might say the wrong thing. So again, you want to manage those things as well. Are you eating after the game before you get on the bus? Maybe it's a longer ride and your boosters have provided a meal. What's that going to look up? What's the setup of that? Who's helping you organize that? Who's handing those things out? Is it the boosters? Does it need to be your assistant coaches? Where is that going to happen? That's something you really need to think about beforehand. But as you get into executing that at the end of the game, those are going to be things you need to manage as well. So many things you need to think about. I probably didn't even cover all of them here. I know I covered quite a few. We're going to put some checklists available for you in our show notes. I'll have to note that those aren't up always right away, but that should be within a day or two. Once the show notes go up, we'll have some links for you available there. Again, check out all we're doing at footballdevelopment.com. We have some drills that'll be really good for you right now, whether that's blocking, defeating blocks, or tackling. All kinds of great stuff available for you there. Again, footballdevelopment.com. And follow everything we're doing throughout the season on our Twitter handle, which is at FBDEVCoach. If you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes and click a 5-star rate, or if you have a minute, write a review. And with anything, if you have some input, ideas, you want to share, add more to this, let us know. We can always link some more things in the show notes, and we'd be happy to give you credit for any kind of input you have to this show.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.